Hello and welcome back. This is Alice Green, your host and coach of the Food Freedom Workshop. This is our ninth and final class. And today I'm going to talk more about balancing foods and making healthy meals and snacks, which supports the third C of healthy choices. At this point, you've been experimenting with preparing healthier and balanced foods for a number of weeks. Yet, you may not be completely sure that you have it down, or you may not feel like you have enough ideas for creating balanced meals or snacks long term. Balancing your foods is a conscious change in thinking whenever you're planning a meal or grabbing a snack or putting food on a plate or in a bowl. It's a different approach. Instead of thinking if you should have a certain food or not, or how many calories something has, instead, you're being aware of which category or categories the food you're planning to eat falls into. And then, based on that, what would be best to balance that with so that you're getting about 50% carbohydrates, 25% fat, and 25% protein. Of course, with that emphasis on complex carbs, unsaturated fat, and lean protein, while allowing for a little bit of the simple carbs and saturated fat in that mix. Now, at first, it feels like a big effort to do this. You know, you're referring back to the food categories and food balancing charts in your workbook, and you're trying to remember, you know, which foods fall into which categories, and you're having to look at food labels to learn how to categorize things. Yet in time, and I promise it's true, that it will become second nature to look at what you're about to plan or cook or serve yourself, and at a quick glance, know if you've got a good balance or not. And of course, there will be times when you don't have a good balance, yet you'll know that, and you can keep that in consideration for your next meal. Or you'll decide, you know, let it go, whatever, which is totally fine. The objective here is to eat a healthy balance as a way of life, not to reach a level of perfection. When nearly all of your meals are well balanced and you're eating in alignment to your hunger and satisfaction levels, having the occasional meal that isn't balanced or all that healthy won't affect your health, fitness, or weight loss goals. The worst that can happen is that you find you don't feel so well afterwards. One of the things I wanted to talk about this evening was quick and easy balanced meals, because what I've learned over the years coaching people is that many of them didn't feel that they had enough quick and easy meal ideas, or that they got bored by the few standard balanced meals that they'd come up with, or got overwhelmed by having to cook so much, or didn't feel like they had a backup plan when they couldn't get to the store. So I want to give you some ways to address this, as you can see on page 2 of your workbook. First, healthy meals, and vegetables in particular, do not have to take a long time to prepare. They can be quite simple, in fact. You can simply wash and do minimal cutting of vegetables and either steam, roast, or saute them, or put them into salads, and then you can add seasonings or dressings to make them more flavorful. Roasting, and I want to take a little bit of time and talk about that, because roasting is particularly good. It makes the food taste really wonderful. Most people who aren't sure they like lots of vegetables discover that they love vegetables that have been roasted. And roasting can be done with almost every vegetable, including root vegetables. Probably the one thing that probably isn't so ideal for are things like certain squashes, but it can be used for almost anything. And what I've found is a really, really quick and easy way to do this, and that's by taking a pan, maybe a rolled cookie sheet pan, putting on a piece of tinfoil, spraying that with some oil. You can do that either with a spray mister that you have oil in, or Pam, or something like that. So you spray the tinfoil, you cut up your vegetables into chunks or slices or wedges, and they don't have to be really small, so you can make big cuts, and then layer them on the pan. And then when you do that, you just spray again with the oil and add seasonings. It could be as simple as salt and pepper. And there are people who find that they like to prepare their vegetables by putting them all into a plastic bag, putting in a little bit of oil in their spices, and shaking it all together to get a really good distribution of oil. And then they will put them on one single pan, sort of one layer, or Lots of people put multiple layers into a deeper roasting pan, and you can certainly do that well when you're baking. And the more you experiment with this, the more you'll gravitate to the method that you like best. You can also do a stir fry. Starts with a little bit of oil, and then you put in either tofu or fish or meats, if you want them. Not everybody wants to add that. They may want to start with vegetables, but here's sort of a concept, a formula for doing a stir fry is that you put in oil. Since it's going to be high heat, you might want to use an oil that really can take high heat, like a grapeseed oil. Then you throw in your tofu or your fish or your meats. Once they're cooked, you take them out, put them aside, and then add in your vegetables and your seasonings. You may have to put a little bit more oil at that point. And then when they're fully cooked, you could add back in whatever it is that you've already taken out and set aside and any sauce that you would like to add to that. And, you know, stir fries don't have to be the traditional Asian stir fries. Some people like to put grated cheese on it, make it a little bit more of an Italian or Mediterranean stir fry. You can experiment with whatever you have in the house. Much like stir frying, there's also something called deglazing, which is a quick and simple way to add a lot of flavor to meats or fish. You start off kind of similar to doing a stir fry. You start off by searing the meat or the fish in your pan, and it's best to have fairly thin slices or pounded down pieces. If you think of chicken piccata, pounded down. And they can either be lightly salt and peppered, or you can cover them in flour with some salt and pepper. Put them into the pan, again, a fairly high heat, but not too high. And then you sear them, and you cook them for about 5 minutes or so until they're mostly cooked. At that point, take the meat out, and what you have are little bits left from what you've just cooked. They're stuck to the pan, and that's going to be pieces that are going to add some nice flavor as you make a sauce. And by the way, if you choose to use a nonstick pan, you'll have a lot less bits to play with. So actually, when you're deglazing, the best kind of pan is something like a stainless steel pan, so things sort of stick a little bit more. You take those meats out, as I said, and then you're going to add in your onions or shallots, maybe some garlic. You'll probably need a little bit more oil at that point as well. And then you're going to saute these. And at that point, what's interesting is you can add other things. So once you've got those sautéed, you can add in slices of apple, you can add in slices of figs, sliced mushrooms. Some people have added in things like raspberry jam. Whatever it is that you think would add a really nice flavor to the meats or the fish that you're making. And then when those are cooked, you're going to add in a cup or so of liquid and let that reduce down a bit. The liquid can be a broth mixed with some wine, like Marsala wine or port wine, red wine, or apple juice. Or it could also be a white wine. With fish, that would probably be really nice. And when that's reduced, you'll probably want to whisk in a little bit of butter, which brings it all together. Then you add back in your meat or your fish and let that cook a little longer so that you can immerse it into that sauce that you've made. And once you've got this concept down, you can have a lot of fun with it. And you can also look online. There are all kinds of recipes for deglazing. But this is a super simple way to have a wonderful entree put together very, very quickly. Not a lot of fuss, not a lot of work. I also want to share another thing that I do. It's one of my favorite ways to make chicken breast that is even less work, if that were possible. Super easy, super delicious. And it is simply having one can of Italian stewed tomatoes that I pour into a deep saute pan. I don't even put any oil in it because there's enough liquid in the stewed tomatoes. And then I put in 3 chicken breasts and cover it for about 10 to 15 minutes, turning them over once after about 5 minutes. And that's it. Simple and so amazing because the chicken absorbs the flavors. And then when you're done, you put it on the plate, you have some tomato, a little bit of juice to pour over it. It's fantastic. So I started off talking about vegetables. Now clearly I'm moving into the meats and the fishes. So let me move on to fish. What I've discovered over the years is that a lot of people like the idea of making fish, but don't feel that comfortable doing it. And I think you'll find that this is really one of the easiest and fastest foods to prepare. You can broil almost any fish. All you have to do is prepare it. You put a little bit of salt and pepper on it, maybe some other seasonings like a rub. And a rub is just seasonings put together. And you could either sort of rub it on or just sprinkle it on. And then you take that, put it under, like I was saying, talking about broiling, you just put that under your broiler. And depending upon the fish, depending upon how thick it is, in about 5 or up to 10 or so minutes, it's done. Of course, swordfish, which is one of the thicker steaks, that would take a little bit longer. But if you were doing trout, you're only talking a few minutes. So some of the things that I like to broil are swordfish, salmon, trout, haddock, and cod. In fact, pre-marinated cod is great this way. And you can get a lot of your fishes pre-marinated. So you can throw that onto, again, I would put it on a cookie sheet or a pan sheet and then some tin foil and throw that into the broiler. And with the right type of grill pan or grilling board, you can also cook fish very easily on a grill. The key with fish is to use high heat and, of course, keep an eye on it so that you don't get it overcooked. Now, mussels, again, is another thing that people think is wonderful. They love the taste of it, but have never considered actually preparing it for themselves. And it, too, is really very easy. In fact, the work is really up front in rinsing and scrubbing them first, which honestly doesn't take that much to do. It isn't a big deal. And then you're placing them in a stock pot after, this is key, after you've prepared that stock pot by sauteing some garlic and shallots, garlic and onion, and then adding in a cup or so of liquids, maybe a half a cup of clam juice and a half a cup of white wine. So what you've done is you've sauteed it, you've got the pot that you're working in is now heated up, you've added in that juice, it's all starting to heat up, and then you throw in your mussels. And it takes about 4 minutes before the mussels open up and are cooked, so it takes almost no time at all. Then you remove the mussels to a serving dish and then cook down that liquid. And then you would add, when you've cooked that liquid down, you'd add in something like, and here's one of my favorite recipes, lemon juice, mustard, parsley, and a little bit of butter. Whisk that all together, let that cook for a little bit, and pour over the mussels. And with that, you have a tasty, fast meal that is perfect with a salad and whole grain bread. So a little bit similar to deglazing, but the steps are a little bit different. In fact, what you're probably noticing with all three of these, the deglazing, the mussels, and the stir fry, is very, very similar concept. And once you have the concept down, then you can start playing with different ingredients. I haven't talked much about complex carbohydrates, but you can make potatoes and sweet potatoes and squashes very, very simply in the microwave in just a few minutes. In fact, you can cook corn that way very quickly. And you can get pre-cooked brown rice that cooks up fast in the microwave. So what I've been trying to do here is give you some really quick whole food meal ideas. And no doubt, you have many recipes of your own. Yet it helps to have some other quick, simple, and minimal ingredient ideas for a change or when you don't have much time. And you can also get, and this is actually something for you to really be aware of if you're not, you can also get a lot of great ideas online by searching for recipes either with specific ingredients or going to good recipe sites such as foodnetwork.com, cookinglight.com, sparkrecipes.com, and that's spark with a K, foodfit.com, eatingwell.com, wholeliving.com, cleaneatingmag.com, that's for Clean Eating Magazine, great new magazine that's come out, or healthy-quick-meals.com. And of course, this is a short list. There are many more available. These are ones I'm familiar with that have some great healthy meals that are very quick and easy to prepare. Now, I'd like to briefly talk about those nights and weekends when you don't want to cook or you don't have fresh food in the house. It really helps to have other easy options readily available in your cabinets or freezer, or know at least where you can go locally to get a healthy meal. Maybe you have a to-go place, or maybe one of your local grocery stores has got a really great deli setup of healthier foods, not just deli foods. The good news is frozen dinners and meals have gotten healthier and tastier in the past few years, and you can now find really good frozen entrees that are organic, low-sodium, whole grain, whole food, gluten-free, and higher in vegetables. And here are some brands to check out if you haven't done so recently. Seeds of Change, which has entrees made with organic vegetables and brown rice. Kashi, if you didn't know, makes frozen meals based on their 7-grain blend, though I have to say they're usually light on protein and heavy on the grains. There's Amy's Kitchen, which has a line of tasty frozen dinners that are lower in sodium than most of the others. Lean Cuisine is always adding new meals. Healthy Choice and Smart Ones also have some yummy options. And all of these that I've mentioned are boxed single-portion meals, which average about 300 calories. Now, that's actually a bit low in calories for a meal, so you can determine where it's low in either protein, carbs, or fat, right, thinking back to your balance, and then determine what it is that you want to pair with it. Some of my clients like to add beans to their meals to get the complex carbs and protein levels up. Some like to add in more vegetables. Others add in more whole grains. Again, it really depends upon what it is that you're choosing and what you need for more balance. Another great option are the frozen meals in a bag. There's Bertulli's, their Mediterranean meat and pasta meals, although I doubt that they use whole grain pasta yet, but you know they might have by now. I haven't checked recently. Or Contessa's stir-fry meals. Those are really great. They are protein and a vegetable. They're a combination in a bag. And they also have steamer bag pasta dishes. In fact, the latest trend is steamer bowls, steamer packages, particularly for vegetables. And it's always a great idea to keep frozen vegetables and frozen fish or shrimp on hand. And what's great is you can easily get single portion options that are quick to heat up in your microwave. So if you haven't spent time in the freezer section of your grocery store lately, you may be surprised by the number of new healthy choices. And, you know, the other place that you might want to check out for good frozen foods is a grocery store that is dedicated to more whole, organic, natural foods. I'm on the East Coast where we have Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. Actually, I know of Trader Joe's. I think both are spread across the country. You may have other types of stores around you. But the thing is, these stores tend to have more variety of healthy options in their freezer cases. So even if it isn't too local to you, you could make a run periodically and stock up, take it back home, and have that in your freezer for a bit. And, of course, you can freeze your own foods by making double batches when you cook and putting the extra into portion-sized freezer containers. And if you do that, I have to say I do recommend marking and dating them so that you know what you've got when you look inside your freezer on a busy night. Otherwise, it's very hard to be inspired. You're not 100% sure what might be in that container or when you put it in there, and you might not have it, and it might end up be something that you toss out sometime, which would be a shame, because if you've got it, something put away that you know is really good, it might have really served you one night when you didn't have it. Well, so far I've been talking about frozen foods, but you can always stock your cabinets with low-sodium soups and canned beans, canned tuna, canned shrimp and salmon, packs of salmon, whole grain pastas, low-sodium pasta sauces, rice noodles, ramen meals, packaged ethnic dishes, all kinds of things. And again, you may find other healthy options that keep well in your cabinets at a natural foods grocer, or you may discover some fresh new products at your local supermarket. And now moving on to snacks. It is really important to stock up on snacks at home, in your car, at work, and when you travel. You know, we've already talked quite a bit about this in a previous class, yet it is worth briefly discussing again, because when you don't have access to healthy snacks when you need them, you're going to find yourself ravenous and susceptible to making unhealthy choices and overeating. It makes all the difference to have food available whenever you might need it. Now, in the past, we've talked about things like food bars, trail mix, soy nuts, whole grain crackers with peanut butter, whole grain crackers with cheese, fruit with nuts or cheese, hummus and whole grain pita or crackers or vegetables. And all of these are pretty easy to buy in stock. And again, you may also discover some good options at a convenience store where foods are packaged in smaller quantities in containers. Again, you never know what's available if you haven't taken time to check the aisles lately. And with that, I think it covers pretty much all the different things that you need to know or think of to quickly prepare or have easy access to healthy foods. And that's something I just wanted to leave you with. Ways where you could have quick and easy meals in a pinch so that you never found yourself turning to foods you didn't really want just because you didn't have them. So now I want to cover just a few more things before we wrap up the course. You have learned how to manage portions, be in control with food, and understand how to eat healthy foods in a balanced way without being deprived. Now, you need to stick with your new relationship with food and maintain your desire for healthy choices. 2 weeks ago, I talked about what would help you to stay conscious. Last week, I discussed the steps and techniques to resolving subconscious beliefs and emotions. And today, I want to talk a little bit more about creating and referring back to your strategies, because these are keys to your success. Learning from what didn't go so well and thinking about what would work and feel better in specific situations can make all the difference in your ability to stay on track. These become your strategies based on your own experiences that you can turn to before you find yourself attending an event, going out to dinner, going on vacation, eating at a buffet table, which I can tell you, you do learn, and you want to know what your strategies are for that. Buying candy for Halloween, attending holiday parties, or anything else that you have learned is, or suspect will be, a challenging situation for you. And these can work as reminders of how to get back on track when you've been derailed or lost consciousness for a while, found yourself craving again, or been triggered by something you thought you had resolved. Everything that you find works or helps you can be written down as a strategy. Or maybe you have a different name for it, and it doesn't matter, whatever it is that you want to call it. In your weekly workbook, I've given you pages to put these strategies. Yet, after this course ends, it may be helpful to put all those strategy pages into one document. Now, you've gotten them in Word, so you can simply copy and paste these pages into one Word document. Or, if you've printed them out, you can just put all those pages together into one booklet or notebook. The nice thing about it is you have a place to go to get all your strategies. You don't have to wonder what will help you with a particular challenge. You're going to have a reminder book of solutions that you know have already worked for you, and you can keep adding on to it. And you may even want to add in your recipes that you love or your list of favorite frozen canned or dry foods or your favorite snack foods. What I'm encouraging you to do is make this your go-to place, your resource for long-term success. And make this your own. Feel free to make a new cover, create new sections, and label things the way you think will work best. You will so appreciate having a place to turn when you need it. And now, to wrap up. We've spent the past 9 weeks talking about the three C's. Consciousness without judgment, clarity through understanding subconscious drivers and then developing strategies, and choices that are healthy and satisfying. And you have already had many successes. So if I were to add a fourth C, it would be to celebrate. To celebrate your successes. Give yourself an atta girl or an atta boy and recognize those successes frequently. Remember to always focus on what went well first and then investigate what didn't go so well and celebrate how great you feel in your body and about yourself now that you have a healthier relationship with food. This concludes our last class. Thank you for allowing me to guide you in your journey to be free of your struggle with food and reclaim your natural ability to eat well by choice. I hope you will take advantage of the coaching calls for ongoing support as you integrate what you've learned into your subconscious and daily life. My very best to you.